Gospel. The Holy Gospel this day comes from the book of John, chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think of what it would have been like for those first disciples just 2 days after laying Jesus in the tomb. Our gospel reading begins this morning saying that on that Sunday night, on that evening of the first day of the week, they were gathered together in the upper rooms and the doors were locked because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Think of what they had witnessed in the days leading up to Easter. There was that emotional Thursday evening when Jesus washed his disciples' feet and he shared a Last Supper with them. There was his agony in the garden when those same disciples fell asleep as he prayed. There was the betrayal by Judas, one of their own, and then Jesus' arrest. There was the denial by Peter. The crowds were shouting for Jesus to be crucified. There was his trial, his torture, and then finally, his crucifixion and his burial in the tomb. And then 2 days later, there are these wild stories from the women who went to visit the tomb. The tomb was empty, and Jesus was raised from the dead. Just imagine the swirl of emotions that those disciples must have been feeling then when on that Sunday night, Jesus appeared out of nowhere and came and stood among them. And in all of that joy and confusion and fear, Jesus simply said, "Peace be with you." What Jesus did on that first Easter evening was to show these frightened disciples the same grace and mercy and forgiveness that he had always shown. He came and stood among them and very plainly and very simply said, "Peace be with you." And then to ease their doubts, he showed him his hands and his side. No wonder the disciples rejoiced to see him. Not only was Jesus alive and among them, but he had also forgiven them for all that they had done and not done over these last dramatic days. But we're told an important fact here at this point in the gospel. Thomas wasn't there. And we often read today's gospel lesson and focus on that, focus on Thomas, the doubting disciple. You see, he hadn't been in the upper room that first night when Jesus appeared to the other disciples. And he didn't believe them when they had said that Jesus had appeared. In fact, he very boldly said that he needed to put his fingers in the mark of the nails before he would believe. But ladies and gentlemen, this isn't just the story of Thomas's fear and doubt. We'll get back to Thomas, have no fear. But it's about so much more. This story is really about all of those fear-filled disciples, trembling behind that locked door and wondering what it all means. This story is really about each and every one of us trying to live a life worthy of our Lord, struggling with doubt, weighed down with fear, and constantly falling short of what we know that he expects from us. And the story is also about how Jesus comes to us in the midst of our doubts and fears to offer each one of us that simple phrase of grace and mercy, "Peace be with you." This gospel reading is also really about the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace which the world cannot give, and the peace that only comes from the crucified and risen Lord, and the peace that comes when we most need it. I want you to think back to a time in your life when you feel as though you had truly disappointed God. And now, imagine Jesus showing up at that exact moment and saying to you, "Peace be with you." That is what our Lord does for each and every one of us. That, too, is what the miracle of Easter means for us. But today's gospel reading is also about the ways in which we are called to share that peace and joy with a world that is so filled with doubt and fear. Jesus did not join his disciples in the upper room simply to celebrate his resurrection. He also joined them there to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit and to send them to the world to continue his mission. Jesus said to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So I send you, literally. One who is sent is the definition of the word apostle. The word disciple, on the other hand, means one who learns. The disciples have learned from Jesus. They've learned many, many things from Jesus by his words and by his examples, and he's taught them about the kingdom of God and about our Heavenly Father's purpose for them and for the world. Now, these disciples are becoming apostles. Disciples who are being sent into the world to be his apostles. And he sends us out into the world in the same way. Us. He sends us out into the world the same way. We are apostles, members of the apostolic church. We are the sent out people of God with a mission that comes straight from our crucified and risen Messiah. But Jesus doesn't just tell us how to do this. He helps us to do this. That, too, is the miracle of the resurrection. After he said to those first disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I send you," Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And when Jesus breathed on them, I can just imagine those disciples thinking back to the creation story in Genesis, when God took dust from the ground. He formed that dust and made Adam, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So as the Father did in the beginning with Adam, so the Son did for those first disciples at Easter. And this is important. This is also what the Spirit does for us in our baptisms. When we are made new creations in Christ, we no longer are merely dust, which we will return to when we die. We are now brothers and sisters in Christ who will live forever with our crucified and risen Lord. In our baptisms, we are given the new life of the risen Christ immediately, right away. This new life doesn't begin in heaven. It begins here on earth through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through our baptism. You see, it's not enough for Jesus that he conquered death through the great triumph of Easter. Now he wants to breathe this new life into you and into me. He wants to share that new life with us. But then what? Then he wants us to go out and share that life with others and build our churches and our congregations, to share that new life with a world that is becoming suffocated by anxiety and fear. He wants to breathe new life into this world through us. Jesus wants us to go into the world that's in the grip of death and breathe on it. And our world needs that new life. And if we wonder where that new life will come from, it has to come from us. We are the ones continuing Jesus's mission. We are now the body of Christ in the world. We are God's plan to bring new life into a dying world until the day that God's Son comes again. Our words and deeds, our hope, faith, love, everything from our witnesses in our daily lives to our acts of love with others is done in Jesus' name. All of this is how the world catches a glimpse of our risen Lord, and that is what it means to be an apostle. That is what we are. So that's what those first apostles did, right? They ran right out after Jesus appeared to them the first evening, shared their joy with the world, right? Well, not really. A week went by. A week after the story of Jesus' first appearance to the disciples, it's now the first Sunday after Easter. And we find those disciples back still in the upper room, the door locked again. Only this time there's a difference. Thomas is present. Yeah, we're back to Thomas, Doubting Thomas. The whole title of the sermon, right? Brothers and sisters, we must realize that Jesus put the whole world on hold for that week. After all, the disciples hadn't left to spread the good news, had they? Jesus had waited to see Thomas. But had anything changed in that week? When Jesus shows up again, is he upset? Does he swoop in and give him a pep talk? Tell them to get out there and do what he's asked? No. The first thing he says when he shows up the second time, surprise, surprise, peace be with you. Then he turns to Thomas from when he wasn't there a week ago. And we're not sure why he wasn't there. But at any rate, when the others had told Thomas that they'd seen the Lord, he famously said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." It's quite a statement. So what does Jesus do when he appears and he turns to Thomas? He shows patience and forgiveness and mercy, and he says to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." What patience Jesus had. But it's not only with Thomas, it's with all of the disciples. In fact, it's that same patience that he has with you and with me. Brothers and sisters, gain confidence from Thomas today. Understand his boldness as he proclaimed his doubt, but then be encouraged by his faithfulness when he recognized in awe, "My God, my Lord, and my God." Be confident that Jesus sees you and loves you just as much as he loved Thomas. Be confident that when you are struggling with sin and guilt and shame and doubt or whatever else you can think of, Jesus has not abandoned you. He still loves you. Be confident that he's still willing to put the whole world on hold just for you. Be confident that Jesus can reach right through to the deepest depths of your guilt and sin and doubt that you have fallen into, even if no one else can reach you. Above all, be confident that he uses his word to do this. Be confident that his words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have eternal life in his name. Be confident that no matter how far you've fallen, you're never beyond Jesus' love. Be confident that Jesus was talking about you when he told Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." See yourself in Thomas today, but even more than that, see how much Jesus loved him and loves you, even as you doubt. Please, please, dear brothers in Christ, don't get me wrong. Doubt isn't a virtue, and unbelief is certainly a sin. But because Jesus appeared to dispel Thomas's unbelief, we gain the confidence to say, with conviction, 7 days after Easter, "My Lord and my God," because unbelieving, doubting Thomas proves that Christ is alive. He is risen. Alleluia. Amen.